Shalom Aleichem for Parshas Yisro Amirjas, and we'll have six Divrei Torah. We'll start off initially with a very quick overview of the Parsha. So the Parsha starts out with Yisro hearing about the amazing miracles that happened to Klal Yisrael with the Makos in Mitzrayim and the Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Kriyas Yamsuf. And now he comes from Midian and joins together with Klal Yisrael, at least on a temporary basis. He sees when he arrives that Moshe Rabbeinu is adjudicating the disagreements between Klal Yisrael, and there was a lot of caseload that had to be taken care of, and Moshe Rabbeinu was only one person, and he says, this is not going to work. It's not going to work for them, because they're having to wait online for you, and it's not going to work for you. This is too much. And Yisro advises Moshe Rabbeinu on how to divide up the caseload between himself and other Dayanim to be hired. And then we have the arrival at Har Sinai, the preparations for Matan Torah, and the real core of the Parsha, the day arrives of Matan Torah, we have Aseres HaDibros. We have the Ten Commandments that are told to Klal Yisrael. For the Divrei Torah, we're going to start out with Dvar Torah number one. We're at the beginning of the Parsha. We're in Perek Yotches, Pasuk Beis, with Yisro coming from Midian. And we're going to focus on a couple of interesting words in this Pasuk. It says, Vayikach Yisro, Chosen Moshe, Es Tzipora, Eishes Moshe, that the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu took Tzipora, the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it could have said otherwise, and we would have thought it would have said otherwise, that it would have said Yisro took his daughter, Tzipora, but it didn't describe Tzipora as his daughter, but rather as the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the question is why? Why does it describe Tzipora, Eishes Moshe? So Rav Moshe Sternbach, in his beautiful set of Sraim Tam Vadas, explains as follows. It did not say Tzipora, his daughter, the daughter of Yisro. Why? The Fisha Avshaisa B'midyan B'beisaviyah, even though she was left alone. Moshe Rabbeinu went down to Egypt to deal with taking the Jews out of Egypt. She was left alone in the house of Yisro, who was a priest to Avodah Zarah. So we would have thought that that's where she grew up, and she would stick with the rituals and beliefs of her father. Lo azva derech ba'ala Moshe. No, she did not leave the beliefs, the philosophies, the practices of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what she kept, even in the environment of Avodah Zarah, of her father. The gam es banei achincha hi v'gilatam kibbeis Moshe. And she also raised her children, that's Yisro's grandchildren, as if they were in the house of Moshe Rabbeinu, and she did not bend to the negative influences of the environment that she was in, but rather she stuck with what she knew was correct. And accordingly, that's why the Pasuk says, Vetshnei Baneha, those were indeed her children, the children of Tzipora, the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu. They were not the grandchildren of Yisro. That would imply that they were somewhat influenced by Yisro. That is not the case whatsoever. Neither Tzipora was influenced by Yisro or the grandchildren. Tzipora was Eishes Moshe, and it was her children meaning the children of Tzipora, the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu, because they had a pure chinuch in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 2. It is Perek Yudches, Pasuk Ches. Now Yisro has arrived, and Moshe Rabbeinu recounts to him the various miracles that had encountered Klal Yisrael. So it says as follows, V'yisaper Moshe l'chosno, as Kol Asher Asah Hashem l'paro l'mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu recounted everything that happened, that Hashem did to Paro and to the Egyptians, all about Alados Yisrael, Kol Hatla, all of the, talking about all the travails of Klal Yisrael that happened, that occurred to Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved them from that. So the question is as follows, and this is the question again of Moshe Sternbach in his Tam Vadas. At the beginning of the parsha, it says, Yisro heard about the amazing things that happened, the Nisim Niflos, and he came to join Klal Yisrael and left Midian. He came, he has reunited with Moshe Rabbeinu, his son-in-law. And now Moshe Rabbeinu seems to tell him exactly what he already knew. He told him, Moshe Rabbeinu told Yisro about Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. And what's the chiddush here? He already knew it. And in addition, to build on the question, we see that Yisro indeed had a very excited reaction to hearing this news, which should have been all news. If it's all news, you don't get very excited. But we've seen that there was something new that Moshe Rabbeinu informed Yisro about that he had not heard before this time. So what is it? What's going on here? So Rav Moshe Sturmbach says as follows, V'nira devar she'ikar sipuro shel Moshe haya eskol hatla'a asher mitzasem. We have to look at the next few words in the pasuk. It seems to be that what Moshe Rabbeinu is really telling Yisro about is all of the travails. That's the hatla'a that happened to occur to Klal Yisrael. And what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is as follows, it may appear to the untrained eye that all of this just happened to befall Klal Yisrael. It was happenstance. That it happened, bad things happen, and that's just how it is. But that is not exactly the case. What were the bad things? That we happened to be going to the Plishtim and we took a wrong turn and we went to the Yamsuf. And it just happened that these were not good things to Klal Yisrael, and that's what the naked eye, somebody who's not trained, would have thought. However, that is not the case. It wasn't simply that these things happened without the guidance of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as so many events we view in our lives, that they just happen, negative things happen, but rather, Moshe Rabbeinu says, each and every step, even the steps that are looked at as negative, that we weren't able to go to the Plishtim and we had to take the long route and we had to get stuck at the sea, all of these things that we would say that they are bad things, calamities that just happened to happen, no. This was all part of the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He set it all up to be that way. He set up the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, to come to the Yam Suf, and he set up the whole system that it's going to split, and they're going to come in, and they're just thinking that God is not involved, that the Jews are making mistakes and how they're going, but that's not the case, because it came evident, it became clear with the splitting of the sea, that everything is Hashkacha Pratis, everything is divinely ordained and planned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And accordingly, that's how we understand the Yisro, when he understands this epiphany, that this wasn't all happenstance, the small stuff, or the big stuff that we look at as calamities, bad things that happen, it's all part of the greater plan that sometimes we can only see later, and sometimes we can't see at all, but we have to understand. And that's why Yisro reacted in such a positive fashion, understanding really all the background and details as to what really happened. So says Rav Sturmbach as follows, Zehu Shevin Yisro. This is what understands, She'ein Tlaos Ba'am Yisro, that there aren't calamities in Klal Yisro. It's not that these negative things just happen to happen. These are things that happen by a Kadosh Baruch Hu above nature, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is fully involved with them. Even when we don't understand it, even though when we don't see, it's not near the eye, we can't discern, we aren't trained, we have to know that this is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3. We're in the same parak, Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Beis. The Pasuk says as follows, Vayikach Yisro Chos and Moshe Ola Uzvachim Lelokim. So at this point, Yisro is very inspired, and it says, literally, he took for himself, he took and gave a Korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zvachim Lelokim, that's what it says, Olo Zvachim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those are the Korbanos. So the Sefer Chut Shel Chesed has a very interesting insight here, and I think it's a very inspiring insight. He says this, that Yisro took, right, the simple understanding is Lakach Et Atzmo, that Vikach Yisro, that he took for himself, he took Olo Zvachim, he took Korbanos. But if we look at it, Vayikach Yisro is Yisro took himself. And what this is implying is that he took himself to go in a new direction in life. And what that is at this point, he is leaving behind who he was, the status of being a Kohen, being a priest of Avodah Zarah, and he was a very dignified, respected individual in Midian. And now he's making a decision, I'm going to take myself away from that, and I am going to go in the ways of Klal Yisrael. I'm going to go in the path less traveled through the Midbar, the desolate Midbar. This is the way I'm going to be going forward. And it's a change. And in certain ways, it's a big detriment to himself because he had a good life. He was esteemed. He was looked up to. He had wealth. He had fame. And he's deciding to go in a much more difficult path than he otherwise would have. And that's what this kicha is, that he's taking himself, he's separating himself, he's going in a different path than he had been in life. Bekicha zohayam mishum korban gadol biyoser. When he's taking himself, we have to know, when we make changes, positive changes, but difficult changes in our lives, that is taking ourselves and making ourselves a korban, a great korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even greater than giving korbanos, even greater than that. It's when we make changes, inspire changes in ourselves, and take ourselves in a different direction. That's the greatest korbanos that we can give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what the Sefer Chut Shel Chesed says. Vayikach Yisro Chos and Moshe, he took of himself and he made changes in his life, significant changes in life, improvement on the spiritual realm, but to his detriment otherwise. But that made him a great korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's the most desirous thing. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4, same parak Yud Ches Pasuk Chav Beis. It says as follows: this is part of the Eitzah that Yisro gives to Moshe Rabbeinu. When he sees Moshe Rabbeinu, everyone's waiting online for you, and you're adjudicating the cases. But this is not going to work. It's too big a caseload for you. They're going to get frustrated with you. So the Eitzah is in this pasuk: Vayakola Davar Hagadol. Yavu Elecha, anything that is big, anything that is gadol, they should bring to you and you'll adjudicate that effectively as the Supreme Court justice. But on the other hand, later on, what actually happened, and this was the plan of Moshe Rabbeinu, doesn't say that everything big would be brought to Moshe Rabbeinu, but everything hashkasha, everything difficult was brought to Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the difference between Yisro's view of the gadol things, the big things should be brought to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the other things, the small things, go to everyone else? And Moshe Rabbeinu's plan and the view of the Torah that the davar hakasha, difficult things, go to Moshe Rabbeinu. The other things will go to other people. People, if they can handle the easier things, they'll handle that. And what's too difficult to them, for them, that will go to Moshe Rabbeinu. So he says as it follows in the Tam Vadas, Dachiluk. What's the difference between Gadol, Yisro's view, and Kasha, Moshe's view, the Torah's view? V'achiluk deladas Yisro davar ha-gadol bekamu. When it comes to Yisro, something that is big, that is the size of it. The dollars. How many dollars are involved? So when it comes to monetary dispute, for example, anything that has a big ticket item, that has to go to Moshe Rabbeinu. That it has to be decided by Moshe Rabbeinu. That has to be at the top. However, when it comes to something small, it's not a $1 million case. It's only a few dollars. Why bother Moshe Rabbeinu with something like that? Let's give it to the lower level court system to handle. That was the view of Yisro. On the other hand, the view of the Torah, Shedin Pruta Kedin Mea, when it comes to a case, we don't look at it as if it's a higher ticket item. There's more money involved. That's more significant. Whether it's $100 or $1,000 or $1, we have to approach it with the same severity and same significance. Because that's money and you're taking it from somebody. If you make a mistake, whether you take a dollar or $1,000, it's the same thing. And accordingly, the analysis is not, is it a big ticket item or small ticket item, a lot of money or little money, big money goes to Moshe, smaller money goes to everyone else, but it's a matter of the difficulty of the case. If something is a difficult case, that goes to Moshe Rabbeinu. If it's a simple case, it's an easier case, that can go to the other judge. It's not a matter of the size of the money that's at stake. Even if it's billions of dollars, but it's not a difficult case, that's not going to go to Moshe Rabbeinu. But if it's something that is difficult, even if it's only a dollar, a pruta, a shekel, that is something that we're going to absolutely take seriously, and that will go to Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's the view of the Torah, that we have to be very careful with other people's funds. It doesn't matter the amount, even a small amount, that is something that we have to be careful about. So Moshe Rabbeinu is going to take the more difficult cases, but the easier cases that don't have to go to Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't want to be matriarchim. Let's free him up for the more difficult cases, the more simple cases that will go to everyone else, regardless of the ticket items, regardless of how much money was at stake. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5, Perek Yutes. Pasukei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you saw what I did to the meat stream, and I took Bnei Yisrael out, and now this is an opportune time. Vata im shamoa tishmu bekoli, if you listen to my dictates, and you're going to adhere to the Torah. That's what Hashem says. So the Shem Yishmuel asked the following questions. Question. Now, right now, why is this the appropriate time to say, you got out of Mitzrayim, if you're going to adhere to my requirements, etc., etc.? Why at this time? Why is the timing here important? This could have been said at any time. So the Shem Yishmuel answers as follows. When it comes to Kabbalas Ol Malchut Shamayim, which is what we're talking about, Im Tzarmoa Tishmu B'Kali, if you adhere to me, you adhere to my dictates, if we accept Kadosh Baruch Hu as the God, and that means accepting the God, accepting the Torah, and the mitzvahs of the Torah. So a real Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, accepting upon ourselves the yoke of heaven, is when there is nobody else that we are effectively enslaved to. We don't have to, we're not under any other person's severe supervision. Obviously, we have a boss at work or something like that. But when we are really indebted in a significant way to somebody else, and we're at their beck and call, it's very difficult to think of a Kadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech Malchei HaMelachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because indeed we have another Melech effectively, because we have somebody else that is also breathing down our neck. So accordingly, Taluso Shekol Nivra Mehaveh Hafra Le'emuna Ba'achdus Hashem, when we are dependent on others in a very significant way. We need other people, and we look up to them, and we need them, and they're on top of us because of that. Not literally, but we are at their beck and call, and we effectively are in servitude to them. It is very difficult to have emuna in the achdus, in the singularity of a Kadosh Baruch. In fact, similarly, the Yerushalmi says that an Eved Kanani, this is a non-Jewish servant of a Jew, they are obligated in certain mitzvahs, but not obligated in other mitzvahs. And one of the mitzvahs that they are not obligated in an Eved Kanani is saying the Kriya Shema. Why not? Because they have another Adon, they have another master upon them, so it's difficult for them to accept upon themselves the yoke of God by saying the Kriya Shema. Shema Yisrael, Shema Elkeinu, Shema Echad. They have a Jewish master, it's very difficult to have two masters. You can't have a real Ol Malchus Shamayim with the Kadosh Baruch Hu if you have another master. And accordingly now, to get back to our question, in this context here, after Yitzias Mitzrayim, a Kadosh Baruch Hu says to them, if you will adhere to my dictates, if you accept me upon you as the master, this is the most appropriate time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying specifically now that I've taken you out of Egypt and removed the yoke of the Egyptians from upon you, the yoke of Paro from upon you, specifically at that time. And I have taken you out, as it says in the Pasuk, Kanfei Neshri, I've taken you out on the back of an eagle. Now specifically is the time that Klal Yisrael can really, in a bona fide way, accept upon themselves in fully the Ol Malchus Shamayim of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the timing here is very significant. If you will, Shamat Yishma B'Koli, if you'll adhere to my requirements, now that we have Yitzias Mitzrayim, this is the time that you will be really able to accept upon yourselves the yoke of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 6, same Karak, Karak Yutaz, Pasuk Gimel, and we have a Kadosh Baruch Hu instructing Moshe Rabbeinu about Matan Torah. This is what's going to happen when the Torah is giving. You have to keep the people away. You have to keep the animals away from Har Sinai. But after the giving of the Torah, when you hear the shofar blast go, when it extends, that is when people would be permitted to go up onto Har Sinai. All the limitations and restrictions are going to be off at that time. So the Meshech Chochmah says we have to learn a very important message from this. Not that there are only limitations when the Torah were given, but specifically that they were lifted. There's a message here for Klal Yisrael. The goal here of Matan Torah and this pasuk and this concept of removing the restrictions, and you can go touch Har Sinai, you can go up on Har Sinai afterward, it was as follows. So this was meant to uproot from Klal Yisrael all types of thoughts that they had of idolatry and the corporeal concept of a God can be seen, can be touched. And they wanted to instill, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to instill in Klal Yisrael emuna tahora, just belief in God. Kishum nivra ba'olam ein bo kedusha kishalatzma. You have to believe that there is nothing that has been created in the world that has independent kedusha. It's only via HaKadosh Baruch Hu that somebody can, or something can have kedusha. And otherwise, people were thinking, if you have an idol, it has kedusha. If you have this item and I brow to it, it has kedusha, it has holiness. But that's not the case. Holiness can only exist as a result of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and what he deems to be holy. And in order to show by example to Klal Yisrael that an item cannot in of itself become holy. It cannot in of itself be something that should be valued as a sacred article. Kedei shlo yu b'nei yisrael sfurim ki'ilu yesh b'har Sinai gufo es a kedusha. So they don't think that Har Sinai in of itself had a holiness, and accordingly, that's why the Torah was given upon it. That's not the case. It's not there was an intrinsic value and holiness to Har Sinai, and that's why the Torah was given, and that would continue, and we can have holiness in inanimate objects. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says as follows: immediately after the giving of the Torah, Har Sinai is going to become just Har Sinai. It's just going to become not the holy place. It's just going to be a mountain that people and animals, people can go up to them, animals can graze on it, and there's going to be no penalty. It's only when the Torah is being given is there a penalty, terrible penalties and punishments if somebody touched and go up at it, but otherwise not the case. K'dusha shos al Har Sinai, lo tehei ela kozman she'shchina tishra alav dach. K'dusha of Har Sinai is only when the Shechina is upon it, but otherwise it's not. That is the explanation of the Meshech Chochma, a very important view that all Kedusha in this world emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we don't have items that have independent Kedusha other than sourced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have a wonderful day.